Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprint, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for at least the next hour tonight on this August the 26th on the West Coast, August the 27th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. Of course, I always leave out Mountain Time. You folks know that you're in the middle there, so... We'd like to also welcome anyone who's listening worldwide on Wind Talkers Radio Network as well as blogtalkradio.com. Lots happening. Well, we got the news about halfway through the first hour of the show last night that Senator Ted Kennedy passed away, and it's been nonstop Ted Kennedy on the news. I feel kind of bad for Michael Jackson and Britney Spears right now. They're not getting much attention. But they'll come back after a while. They've got to milk this as much as they can. On last night's show, I opened the show by describing an event that occurred over roughly a 2.5 hour period over Ohio. Got some emails from some people in Toronto, Canada, that mentioned they were chemtrailing the skies. And we certainly know that in this instance, chemtrails were used to mask what was going on in the upper atmosphere. And we had the same thing going on around my area in Ohio. In fact, I noticed, much like on 9/11, there were no planes landing with the exception of the one that I mentioned, which was sort of an executive-sized jet, a large executive-sized jet that landed at Cleveland Hopkins International Airport. And then there were no planes taking off and no other planes taxiing or even just making the round trip around the downtown area like they usually do before they wait their turn to land. This wasn't happening. And I found that to be rather strange. And as things went on, we were seeing, as I described yesterday, military planes at very, very high altitude spraying chemtrails. Saw a couple of them peel off. One rolled off to the northeast towards Buffalo, New York, or maybe Toronto. And another one toward the Youngstown, even maybe possibly towards Pittsburgh area. For some reason, this area of airspace was chosen to create an event. And this is an event. I mentioned disclosure last night. I strongly feel that this is an event that is going to lead toward disclosure of an alien presence, not just on this planet, but in our atmosphere, in our solar system, in our galaxy, despite what you hear. Now, my inside sources confirm what my intuition told me. I had a vision, basically, of 150 craft and a couple of larger crafts like motherships. We'll just say that these were uninvited guests. We'll refer to them as such. And I understand that there was some arbitration and an agreement was reached between these uninvited guests and our majestic people. And this will bear out over time. So I'm sure the emails and the questions are going to come flooding in. Trust that what I've shared with you will be confirmed at a later date. And that we are going to see our society over time change. And I'm even going to prophesy that it's going to be a much brighter change than what we're currently witnessing, especially in the political arena. there's really not a lot more that I can say. I have to say that I did not listen to the Mike Trivisano show on WTAM 1100 out of Cleveland. And so I don't know what kind of follow-up they had. My concern yesterday was to report this, that there was definitely something very strange going on. And the phenomena that I described was accurate, and there is a reason why it was accurate. I saw it, and I know what it is that I saw, okay? So did some other people that called into Mike Trivisano's show. I add that I'm not the only person that did see this event. I'm fairly certain millions of people across the state of Ohio and Canada and possibly even Michigan saw something. I don't have any information as to the numbers, but it really doesn't matter. It only takes one person that recognizes what it is and has the ability to communicate it to the rest of us. So there's nothing to be frightened about. I understand that the agreement has calmed things down, and a disaster and a tragedy was avoided. And in the future, we'll bring more information as is possible. Okay? I would like to give a shout out to some very dear friends, by the way, who have been helping us and listen to the show quite regularly. It's been discussed on several shows before who these people are. And I've sort of memorized the list of names as best I can because this group is growing, and my awareness is growing of all the people that are listening. And once in a while, everyone likes to hear their name mentioned on the radio. So I'd like to give a shout out to Karen, Bob, and Bill, David, Sheila, Zachariah, Crenshaw, Sylvia, Katra, and Jill. Of course, I would also like to shout out to the general and someone that I haven't met before, but I'm hoping someday I will. I'd like to send condolences out on behalf of all the staff here at BBS Radio and everyone that regularly listens to this show and is not believing but understanding what's being said on this show night after night. I'd like to give a shout out to Jay Tara and send my condolences on his father's sudden passing due to an accident. And I know what that's like. My father passed away this year, and it was a difficult time for me and for my family. And it really causes us to soul search when we lose a loved one close to us. So our condolences go out, our greetings go out, and you people are much appreciated. I want you to know that. Well, now, I had Ken Adachi booked for the show tonight, but Ken wasn't feeling his best and felt that he would do this show more justice if he rested up for his next visit to Evident Footprints. So in the spirit of the professional that he is, he recommended tonight's guest, and I'm delighted to have him on the show. He was on, I think, June 22nd of this year. We had a very interesting discourse on many, many topics, especially his background. He is a journalist, a researcher, and I refer to him as a visionary because he's very intuitive, very much into what's going on around the world and really in the universe. And he lives up in Canada, and his work has been published quite a bit exclusively on educate-yourself.org, which is Ken Adachi's website. And his name is Zernova Star Livingstone. And for sake of brevity, can I call you ZS?
Yes, you can.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm so used to reading your articles, and your page on Ken's site is titled ZS Livingstone. So we save airtime when I call you ZS. How's that? We can talk about more things.
Right.
How have you been?
I've been working hard physically. I'm in construction right now, and There's no slowdown in Canada right now in construction.
Mm-hmm.
The salmon arm is booming right now.
Oh, that's good. Well, I wish we could say the same about a lot of places here in the United States, but hopefully things will turn around. I think it's something the people are going to do. I don't see it happening from any clear thinking on the part of anyone in the government, because they've been there and always had that chance. You know, obviously they're failing terribly.
Yeah, there's the huge impetus, like the economy of the United States with 300 million people. Is not controlled by the stock market, or it's controlled by the people's need. And people are going out and just making a bad system work for their advantage, providing for their families, no matter what. So even though they've tried collapsing those in, who think they own the world, people just keep showing up for work, keep on doing what they have to do, keep making their transactions. So it's tied in with all the transactions are tied in through the banking with the One World Order. At the grassroots level, people feeding their families is driving the economy forward. And I think that impetus of the American economy is a phoenix in itself, raising out its own ashes almost instantly. And even the people in the corporations who were supposedly tied into the multinationals and the large banking system keep on producing their products and of course, they tried collapsing the car market, but the executives, the car manufacturers, GM and Dodge, Chrysler, just kept on planning and moving ahead and pushing through all the blocks and limitations and red tape and the lack of credit and did their job to produce what they had to produce in order to keep on going. So I don't think that the economists who are, especially the Chicago School of Economists, really understand the vigor of the United States, the vigor of all people who are in free enterprise, the enterprise which they create through their own conscious awareness.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't, they can't quantify it. There is an unseen hand, but it's not the rock. Rothschilds and Rockefellers, it's the spirit of the American Constitution. It's the spirit of people being people.
Mm-hmm. Of course, there is this automatic, or you could say innate sense that something has to be done. You know, the survival mechanism sort of kicks in and people do what they have to do. And they certainly can compare the results that they get to the results the government is getting giving them or mm-hmm. getting from what they're doing. You know, I question all these things. I really don't intend to spend a lot of time on things like the bailout and all that. But, you know, you have these banks and these brokerage firms that are probably upside down. I mean, there's no doubt about that, that the Federal Reserve itself is upside down probably by about $3.3 quadrillion dollars. So you can't expect anything whose oil or wheels are greased by this oil of this illusionary of a fiat and a usury credit system to have any actual substance to it. So they're all in that state. It's just a matter of acknowledging it or not. Well, I see what is going on in the government takeover of all of these programs and these companies. What are the odds that all three of the major U.S. auto manufacturers are in dire need of money unless this hadn't been planned. Or if we're not being told the real truth about what's going on. In other words, if they're going to give $17 billion or whatever the amount is, $18 billion to GM, then they have to give something to Ford, and they have to give something to all the other hands that are sticking out. What about me? What about me? You know, because they're all part of this the same game, okay, the same script. But in the process, I mean, what we're witnessing is the takeover of these companies. They're federalizing everything, just like they did in Nazi Germany.
Yes.
There's no difference between the two. And a lot of people don't like to hear that said, but you describe what it is, if it's not that.
Yeah.
Okay. So yes. I want to make that point, because we're saying that, well, the economy is this, and these companies have to be bailed out. No. The problem is simply that they've hypothecated all this vast wealth in the stock market, and primarily in derivatives and hedge funds, put options, playing futures, and because there is no integrity, because this is being done corruptly, mm-hmm. and it's being done in a fashion where the money is being put in tax-free shelters, offshore accounts, and because of the level of international financial corruption and agreements. I mean, before we had the Basel I agreement that we've had within a year and a half, less than 2 years, the Basel II agreement and the Basel III agreement, which is to force compliance to a gold standard, and we do not have that because they've stolen the gold, obviously. And they're constantly stealing the gold and attempting to steal the gold of others, which is why we have these invasions into other countries. But they create the false pretenses for why this is going on. It's all about power and control, and the system of control has always been money. And as long as they have the upper hand on knowing what they're going to do with the money, or just taking over these companies as if, well, they have to do it because these companies couldn't do it the right way, because their people are making millions of dollars of bonuses or salaries well beyond the performance. If you or I did a job like that, the regular people you're talking about who are making ends meet out of necessity, with all of this going on the level where the lawmakers are the ones doing this, the Justice Department is involved in this, the banks that are supposed to be guarding the money for their customers and paying them interest on it are stealing all of it. Okay?
Right.
It's the biggest organized crime ring of the history of the world right now is what we have here. So all the pretense of, well, we have to help these companies to stay in business, otherwise the economy is going to crash. First of all, it's all built out of thin air anyway.
Yes.
So how hard is it going to crash when it does crash?
Oof.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying here. So
yes, I do.
I'm sort of ranting in a way, but I could go into great detail in any of these aspects and talk about the corruption in the Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae home loan scandal and countrywide and the affiliated companies. And I can tell you who specifically in all kinds of cities across this nation are involved in it. And they share common addresses that the odds of them sharing are astronomical. And yet they all have these same addresses because they're pooled into these schemes, you see. They're all getting kickbacks. They're getting rich by allowing this country and really other countries, because of this is being done internationally, they're undermining the economy of the whole world. Really, we are not dependent upon a corrupt system to survive. So, yeah. So we don't have to pay attention to that other than to acknowledge what it is they're doing, and that's what we don't do when we create something new. Now, I want to give you the opportunity to express yourself.
Yes. Beyond the attempt to create a crisis or that could bring in martial law, I've been watching the earthquakes around the world, and also last November up in the in northern Canada, nine earthquakes happened in the zone off the Canadian archipelago north of Banks Island, high above in the Beaufort Sea, above the north slope of Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the seismograms, I could see that automatically that they were nukes. And they were timed to, it was a grid of nukes going off on the continental slope of the Canadian archipelago, just south of where the North Magnetic Pole was. And I wrote a piece about that and put it onto Kanadachi's site. And it was like they're all in the 4.7 range, ranging from 4.3 to 5.3. And they're probably all the same device. It's just that when you explode a nuke, you can't really count on what the yield's going to be, even though they're identically manufactured. And so they were trying to set up a beat pattern into the crust, which would trigger earthquakes at the equator and at other places around the world, especially what came about later, within a day or two later, was a very, very deep earthquake, about 600 kilometers beneath Fiji. And there's also been deep earthquakes in northern Argentina, Chile, Bolivia, and Peru, as well as under Indonesia, deep under the Banda Sea, which is right smack in the dab in the middle of Indonesia. It's a sunken depression in like a bowl-like area amongst the thousands of islands that make up Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, they've been blowing off nukes in clusters. They did, just last month, they did a whole series of on the Andaman Islands north of Baniashte on the same fault zone of the great tsunami, which caused great loss of life throughout the Indian Ocean, Sumatra, Thailand, Sri Lanka, and the Andaman Islands. And they were all on the U.S. Geological Survey pegged at 10 kilometers deep. And that's kind of like a, when you see that 10 kilometer depth, it's actually a cover up of the actual depth.
Mm-hmm.
They have a machine that automatically pegs it at 10 kilometers. And it's like saying, this is a nuke. And there's probably been several hundred of these explosions. They're Hiroshima-sized nukes, which they can shrink to the small size and put down a borehole into a deep oil well, and then trigger it at the time which they wanted to do it.
So you're saying 20 kiloton size blast?
60 kilotons. 20 to 60, somewhere
in
there.
20 to 60, okay. Yeah, I think the Hiroshima blast was 20
yeah.
K. So you're suggesting then that this is being done to cause earthquakes along these particular lines across
the state. Create tsunamis. And since last November, they have not been able to create one tsunami. There's a grid of vortexes, magnetic vortexes, around the planet, which are from a higher dimensional input. Energy is coming from a higher dimensional input.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm living on the side of one called Mount Ida in Sound Arm, British Columbia, and I've been keeping track of it for the last 5 years. And it anticipate the magnetic vortex 3 days in advance, knows that these explosions are coming, adjusts to it, and it's a 5 mile diameter or radius, 10 mile diameter, covering the whole area around this ancient volcano from the central crater position.
Mm-hmm.
And just doing the calculations, rough calculations on like back of a envelope, a 1 degree deviation clockwise or counterclockwise of that magnetic vortex creates millions of tons of pressure in the crust of the planet in one direction or another direction. And the higher dimensional beings, the archangel, the angels, would you want to call them, are actually anticipating and holding the earth together, preventing tsunamis. And yet they've been blowing off nukes all over the planet. They actually blew off a couple in Iraq, in the Kirkuk area, and north to Mosul, a couple of weeks ago. Very, very deep, not very deep, but I would guess. Maybe anticipating trying to generate more oil flow from that area. But again, it's a seismically active area. In fact, the whole oil of the Gulf region is following a fault zone where oil is seeping from deep within the planet up into the sands under Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and all the nations around the Gulf there. And that is a fault zone, like the San Andreas fault zone.
Mm-hmm.
And oil does bubble up from in the Bakersfield area and all along the coast there, and it's coming up from deep in the crust. And so exploding a nuke in the Mosul area on the fault zone is an attempt to create disaster in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Or through Turkey.
They've done that already. I mean, how much worse do they want to make it, you know?
The point I'm trying to get to is that they've been stymied. They can't create a disaster that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's been blocked.
Yeah. Can I comment? Would you like to hear a comment on that?
Yes, please.
Okay. You don't have to say please. Just say, yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay. Oh, I'm being very Canadian.
We're not that formal on this show, okay? What's going through my mind, I've done a number of shows with Jim Murray on Friday nights, and we've talked recently, and over the past couple of years, we've talked about these ley lines or these grids that basically keep all of the planets in the universe in their particular flight pattern, if you want to call it that. They keep the planet stable. They keep within the realm of their trajectory. And a lot of that has to do with the balance of the planet itself, the energies of the planet. But those grids actually cause the planets to turn and to move through space. And we're discerning that there's more information, a higher consciousness coming through there.
Yep.
So something like a nuclear explosion is a very low form of consciousness, and it can't compete with these energies. Would you say that that's somewhat a pretty good layman's description of what's going on?
I'd say that's exactly what's happening. That consciousness has its plan in place for the planet Earth and for the people who are residing on it, and is level best to keep people living. Whereas, in order to experience what life is, the miracle of life on this planet at this time, in spite of the controls put onto the life on this planet, there are miracles happening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually, my heart is glowing, understanding just the beauty of the plan of rescuing the consciousness, bringing the consciousness back up, where we've been deliberately dumbed down for millennia, and the pressure is even on us heavier now. The consciousness is coming up,
mm-hmm.
and we're getting all sorts of assistance from off planet. The living entities on Mother Earth, the living entity, and all the elemental kingdoms are working with their Mother Earth, in conjunction with cosmic forces beyond this planet, in order to hold the planet together.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. In fact, you know, this story that I told at the top of the show, I mean, it was my experience, okay? It's not just a story. This is not fiction. and time will tell. But I can tell you my sources agreed with what I said, what I discerned as it was happening, and we're witnessing things that are going to be revealed. You see, the truth is in all of this, you see, and when you contemplate the literature that's been put out, you refer to the One World Order. They like to call it the New World Order, and they like to call themselves the Illuminati, and call yourselves whatever you choose. You know, I don't have a problem with you giving yourself a name, but if you're calling yourselves enlightened and you operate in darkness, isn't that a bit of an oxymoron? And with this consciousness raising, certainly, you know, you call us useless eaters. Well, if we're more conscious, maybe we will become useful eaters, you see.
I think the useless eaters are the ones who are planning all this nonsense, because it is nonsense.
Yeah, I agree. That's kind of the point that I'm making, is they're so desperate to maintain control. They cannot compete with this. I notice this all the time. I was thinking this before I brought this story, you know, to my listening audience last night, and I laughed when I got a follow up because I already knew this. You see, there was nothing really of the general events that occurred that I could be told that I would have disputed what I saw. In other words, what I saw, what I communicated to the audience, I got back.
Right.
And that's all, you know, I'm sharing with the audience right now for very good reason, but I know that there are things going on, and guess what? So does my listening audience. And so do many people who weren't listening.
Okay.
All right.
They felt it. They felt it.
They know. In fact, I stopped off at a place to get a cup of coffee. We have one of the best coffee houses in the world in my town, and I stopped off to visit a friend there. Mm-hmm. His father's been very sick recently, and he's working around the clock, and I stopped in just to say hi, and I said, anything strange go on here today? And right away, this event came up. So people who were even inside in their businesses were getting the word from the customers that were coming in off the streets who had seen all of this. So a lot of people saw it. And you're talking about some people that are, you know, they're the walking zombies. They even noticed it, okay? So I'm seeing that level of consciousness in the regular people. They don't necessarily know what's going on, but they sure felt it. Is what I'm saying. So go ahead.
Right. Also, what Ken was, when he phoned me up this afternoon, was suggesting we talk about the swine flu and the bird flu epidemic. What occurred to me is that to bring the message of hope, that there's probably been about a dozen plagues, maybe more plagues, that have been dumped onto the people, the West Nile disease, Lyme disease, going back decades.
SARS, we had more recently, yeah.
And they all went nowhere. And this chimera of different genetics from birds, a very lethal virus which would kill birds, a very lethal virus which would kill swine. They take the most lethal aspects of those and put them together into H1N1 or whatever the number they got for it, and they cobble together maybe six or seven different versions, and they release them all into the public, and they all go nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Because consciousness is not allowing the epidemic to happen. We've already reached the point where the strength of the human consciousness is far stronger than those extraterrestrials and those negative ones who want to control us.
Mm-hmm.
The human genome is actually being mined by the little grays and by the reptilians because they don't have the strength of the human genome. And here's the human genome coming forward at a time of crisis and overcoming anything that's coming at it. Life persists because the plan for the human genome is right from life itself.
Yes, and on an intellectual level, I can tell you firsthand. I mean, I've been part of this, and I'm not the only one. I'm working with some doctors like Dr. H. Huat, Dr. Bill Deagle, for example, where we are discussing these things. And in the process of going into the lawsuits that are supposedly being filed around the world, we're finding that those are not being filed and that these people aren't even who they claim to be. And they have, you mentioned the genome. I don't know if you've been listening to the show recently, but knowing how busy you are, I wouldn't fault you if you didn't. But I can tell you that we can make connections to these companies, like Novartis, for example, or Bayer, or Affymetrix in Santa Clara, California, that does the genome mapping and makes the genome chips. They're affiliated with the people filing these lawsuits, or saying they're filing lawsuits.
Okay.
The fraud being perpetrated on the public in all those dimensions is overwhelming, and yet we're able to cut straight to the truth. You see, the truth has to come out with this energy you're talking about. This higher consciousness is the truth.
Yes.
And it cannot be hidden any longer. Right. They can lie, they can try to convince us something else is going on, but we see through everything, don't we?
Well, you can see the anger of those who are in charge killing off the geneticists and the biochemists for the last three decades. Well, there's a list of over 100 they've killed because their lethal germs did not cause the problems which they're paid to create.
Or they've taken them off planet.
Or taken off planet.
I should say I think it's a combination of those things.
Yes.
Many cases, you know, they've found these people. And, of course, all of these people commit suicide. Now, do you think they tell a college freshman, you know, who's a microbiology major, you know, we want you to know that this is a high-risk degree you're going after because you're prone to commit suicide?
Yes.
You know, you think they're telling them that as they're collecting $50,000, $60,000 a year in tuition? You know?
Right.
This is not being told to these people, and they're being misled. And you would think that if they were using their own intuition, they would see this coming.
Right.
And you know,
I can imagine that they are bright young people, and maybe they're being guided from their higher selves to go into a dark place and bring their light into a dark place.
That's always a possibility, yes. We all did that when we came to planet Earth, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
So,
for volunteers.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something exclusive to that vocation. But,
yes.
Yeah, and I'm not correcting you in saying that. It's just that awareness, you know, comes through immediately. The janitors certainly bring light into the restrooms, don't they?
They clean it up.
Yes.
And essentially, that's what all those who volunteered to come to planet are doing, is just sweeping the, making sure that the urinal is spotless and the toilet is equally spotless.
And flushed.
And flushed.
Yeah, we're sort of witnessing this end of the solar system's toilet being flushed, that's for sure.
Right.
In terms of where you see all this going, okay, we know without a doubt that there is no pandemic, that they're trying to create one, that mass murder is intended.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm seeing clearly, and I think you're probably seeing this too. I'm seeing this failing, no matter how hard they try to convince the people that this is something that's going to occur and we have to have it. I mean, they're fudging the numbers incredibly.
Yes.
It's not occurring anywhere that I know of, and yet we get these reports, you know, that there's thousands and thousands. I read some figures off of a map on a website, Dr. Henry Lyman's website, as these pinpoints on Canada. Thousands of people have already died, or you know.
Well, we had a few people confirmed dying of bird flu or swine flu in British Columbia here, but they're announcing it like within 1 or 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes some time to develop the culture, the virus culture.
Could this not be from a vaccine, for example?
It could be from a vaccine. There are people who have been entered in the hospital. They're already sick with multiple problems, and they're succumbing to pneumonia or something like that in hospital, and they're calling those cases the part of the epidemic, and yet they're announcing it too quick.
Yes.
They can't really get results back from the labs, and the lab that does those tests is actually in Winnipeg, four provinces over, north of Minneapolis. So, unless they're putting it on an F-118 or an F-18 and shipping it from Vancouver to Winnipeg and then doing the lab test really quickly and then phoning back the results as soon as it comes in, still, that'd take a few days, not one day.
Yeah, I doubt that that's even going on. I think the cover story is, well, this is swine flu or this is bird flu.
Yeah.
They already said 3 or 4 days ago on CNN that there's a pandemic in Alabama, you know, that there's hundreds of cases of this, and it's going to reach 90,000. I mean, you know, they can't even predict the weather, okay?
No.
They can't predict the weather. They certainly can manipulate it, okay? But they can't predict it by just watching it. They have the technology to do it. I don't know a meteorologist that's right every time they predict the weather. They predict thunderstorms, widespread rain, over 100% of the viewing area, and we have sun all day, okay? Now, if you or I did those kinds of things, or the kinds of things that they do in these big corporations, we'd lose our job in 5 minutes.
Yes, we
would. But this is all part of this game, this mind control and fear-mongering and propaganda, and we are rising above this, and we are dissecting all of these little plots that they've constructed, you know, in their play.
And talking about another disaster scenario, we're late August, and we've only had two hurricanes in the Atlantic. And Bill made big waves passing near Halifax, Nova Scotia, and the people came out to Peggy's Cove, which is a very scenic rocky cove with a lighthouse, and we're photographing these 20-foot waves coming in as the eye of the storm down to Category 1 passed by. But here we are late in August, and just we got from A to B, whereas in other seasons we've might have had up to 13, 14, maybe 15 hurricanes by this time. Something is stopping the hurricanes from happening. And I believe that the water in off the Canary Islands, off the coast of Morocco, is cooler, and therefore it's not possible to generate for the hurricanes to start generating there.
Well, maybe it's this massive global warming that's going on that's causing the water to be cooler.
Canada had one of the coldest, overall, one of the coldest, wettest summers ever, except for British Columbia here. We had a high-pressure trough parked over us, and so we're having problems with forest fires right now. Our air is smoky right over top of us from a whole mountaintop burning off about 30 miles north of us.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, it's actually there's a warning for frost in the Peace River District of British Columbia and Alberta tonight, August 26th, 27th.
Thank God for global warming. I mean, guys would have icebergs falling down on you.
Well, 100 years ago, 10% of the province of British Columbia was covered in ice, and we're still around, we're a little bit less than that, but the ice, one of the main ice fields actually has been grew last winter. And it looks like because of the lack of sunspots, we're now 46 days since the last sunspot, that the sun is just slightly cooler and we might have another long winter here. We had a long winter last year.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think there's some mediation going on up there by the sun, too.
Yeah. The sun is, listen to, watch Al Gore's report and decided to do the opposite.
Yeah. Now with, even in our area, I know that what you're saying about the temperatures there in British Columbia is true. Even in Ohio, several communities set records for the lowest temperatures over a certain period of time in many, many years. And they're amongst the all-time records.
Yeah, Ontario is cold, too.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's necessarily cold, but certainly the temperatures are much lower. Right. Now, there's a lot of manipulation of the weather going on, and yet what I'm seeing and what you're describing and what I also have talked about here on the show with others that know and recognize this very same thing is that these energy patterns are controlling it. Now, whether those are coming from the off-planet visitors that we have that have stated on this show that they're moderating chemtrails, I'm seeing evidence of that. People all over the planet are reporting to us, not just to me. They're writing into Canadachi, for example, telling them, sending pictures, you know, look at the skies, no chemtrails.
Yes.
Now we had them yesterday, for sure, and there was a reason why we had them, and I know there were other times that we've had them for the same reason. It's not always for that reason, though. There is a systematic intent to destroy crops, to destroy the wildlife, you know, we could say the flora and the fauna. Animals are suffering. Certain species, like bees, for instance, have come down with immuno-related diseases from one colony to the next. It's not something just particular to one colony.
Mite.
And it's happening. It's happening to people. People are getting sick. They've been getting sick from chemtrails, but they're not being told the truth about it.
Right.
And now that's being mediated, and it's not having the impact. It isn't. Now, I called sylphs. You were talking about the off-planet entities or the ethereal entities that are in this dimension.
Dimensional, too.
And I called the sylphs after this event yesterday. In 15 minutes, they cleaned up the skies.
Yes.
15 minutes, probably the whole state was covered with chemtrails.
Right.
That's a pretty large area.
And they actually transmute the air. They change the lumen particles back to air, to water, oxygen, and hydrogen. All living beings can transmute elements. And in our physical bodies, we actually do transmute magnesium into iron for our blood and magnesium into calcium for our bones.
Mm-hmm.
And in our part of our cooling action of our body is the transmutation of sodium to potassium. We sweat out potassium chloride on our skin, and that's a cooling transmutation equal or greater than evaporation from perspiration.
Mm.
And this is has been understood for about 50, 60 years, and it was first put together by Dr. C. Louis Kerverand, who was head of research after World War II in France, and he was doing basic research for the Pasteur Institute and for what would be called the science department for the French government, kind of like the National Institute, NIH, or that sort of type of department, but he was sent out to do the basic research on, and he kept coming back with transmutations after doing detailed research on a stoichiometric level, where he was measuring all the holistic action, measuring all the elements going into and out of all sorts of living beings, plants, animals, And sylphs, a living being, intradimensional being, partly a very small part of it's in the third dimension, most of it's in the fourth dimension,
mm-hmm.
have the ability to transmute through their life energy from their principle, connecting to the earth grids, a loom into whatever they want to, and most often it's going back to oxygen. It's a huge mystery. They actually tried launching a rocket or a satellite to orbit a few months ago, but it crashed and burned or exploded, which was going to had a very sophisticated program for tracking carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And it could detect carbon dioxide at various parts per million all around the planet.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge mystery. And don't tell Al Gore this.
I won't. I promise you.
That two-thirds of the carbon dioxide...
Hold on a second. Al, if you're listening, turn the volume down for a few seconds. Okay, go ahead.
the huge... Hundreds of millions of tons of carbon dioxide missing from the atmosphere. And they just don't know where it's going. They theorized it was going in the oceans, but they tested and found it's not going in the oceans. They checked biomass absorbing the carbon dioxide, and they've pretty well established that the carbon sink into trees and plants and animals and crops is a fairly fixed rate. Yet they're seeing over and above that a disappearance of carbon dioxide. That carbon is being transmuted. And one of the places it's obviously being transmuted is lightning. After a lightning stroke, you will smell ozone in the air, O3.
Yeah.
That is transmuted CO2. The carbon electrified between two oxygen atoms changes from a carbon to an oxygen. And so every lightning strike, a little bit of carbon dioxide disappears. And think of how many lightning strikes there are around the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And also, prior to C. Louis Kervorand doing his work in France in the 50s and 60s and writing his book Biological Transmutations in the late 60s, early 70s, there was work by Walter Russell, who isn't self-educated artist sculptor in New York. One day in 1921, he went into a transcendent state of conscious awareness, and he was able to see everything from the microcosm to the macrocosm for about a 40-day period. His family thought he had gone nuts. And he'd hop onto the streetcars of Manhattan and ride them in a transcendent state all day long, and then go home, go to bed, and just avoid people or avoid his family. But from that, he put together a series of books, which Ken Dachi has been reading, which are very hard to understand. And it talks about the vortexian nature of creation and the principles that tie together all matter. And he took those principles to a few years after that experience, and we got permission to go to the Bell Labs and set up his experiment. And with just simple magnets, electromagnets, and a mysterious device he developed himself, which would change the orientation or the twist on the magnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
And ran a series of tests where he created 17 different elements from air through essentially a magnetic quadrupole.
So, in essence, what you're saying is he was changing the grid in that microscopic environment.
Yes.
Okay.
And so he proved that, and of course that information, of course Bell Labs, and being bought out by those with the money, hid that information, like they've hidden all that type of information. That was 1927. And he said that this new age would be an age of transmutation. And if this technology had gotten out. And here we have chemtrails being sprayed all over the planet, or all over the Western world, not all over the planet. And what's changing is transmutation. And I believe that extraterrestrials knowing the principles would use transmutation as their premier way of cleaning up the atmosphere and cleaning up the aluminum particles, the barium particles, and the other particles. And they can use transmutation through projected intent, through magnetic fields, creating vortexes and magnetic fields into the planet, including Mount Ida in British Columbia here, in order to change the content and also to drop the radioactive content, which is too high right now because of all the explosions of nuclear devices over the last 50
and,
60
and
years.
The depleted uranium, I'm sure, has contributed yes. immensely to that. Can I make a comment briefly here? I've got a chat message from one of our listeners who's remarking about the lawns and the trees, and I've seen this too. Trees are going through various stages that they normally do not go through. For instance, an oak tree last year in my, I have two huge oak trees, by the way, that are humongous. They're some of the biggest oak trees you've ever seen. And they're very healthy, generally speaking. And I asked my neighbor about trimming one of the branches so it wasn't hanging into his yard, and he said, "Don't you dare." You know, this tree is shading his whole house, okay?
Wow.
And it's in the center of my yard, so you can imagine, you know, the impact that this tree is having just on this general area. But
you have a 100-ton living entity in the middle of your yard.
A couple of them, okay? And, you know, you hear people say things like, hug a tree. Well, trees are very conscious entities. They're alive. And they are primarily, their job is, besides providing a shade, I think shade is a fringe benefit, really they're removing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. And the lawn is producing oxygen. You know, a quarter of an acre lawn will keep, what is it, four people alive for a whole year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a well-maintained, healthy lawn will produce enough oxygen to keep four people alive for 1 year. Now, he's remarking, this person that sent this chat message, that he notices that trees seem to be going through a premature phase where it appears that they're already in the fall, in
yes.
other words. And the lawns are, of course, competing for water and nutrients. And I think it's a combination of all these things that are going on. Think of the electromagnetic pollution that we have going on. That's mm-hmm. interfering with these grids. Now, these grids are still coping with it, I feel,
yes.
right? Because the consciousness is rising. And the lawns are not dead. They may be turning brown, but they're not dead. They sort of go into a hibernation
right.
Naturally. But we're seeing this occur. And if we look, we can see what's happening in nature. That's the point I wanted to make. And certainly I want to allow you to comment on that, because basically he's asking, you know, what can we do? What should we be doing? The rain seems to be affecting the humans adversely. And I would submit to him and to you that, and our listeners, that it's probably a combination of all the pollutants, the chemtrails, the depleted uranium, and all these other things that we've already mentioned. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes. Well, you can see was talking to a local woman who has a very, very beautiful garden, and it's one of those places where you can see all the sorts of different species, which you would never, it's like a microclimate in her because of the conscious awareness she creates around her house, and that she's able to grow plants which should not grow in this zone. They should be growing in Southern California, not in Canada, and that she's able to do that. And she said a few days ago, fall fell with a thud, August 22nd or something like that, for Salmon Arm, British Columbia. And but it seemed as if it was happening all around the planet at the same time, well, Northern Hemisphere anyways, that we felt fall come in really, really too early.
Mm-hmm.
And that maybe the oak trees are telling you. And, of course, an oak, the leaves will, if they're changing prematurely, then they are picking up the signals that they have to go into the dormancy stage too and drop the leaves.
Yes, yes. They're sort of protecting themselves. They know that that's the point that we make so often when we talk about nature. Right. Nature doesn't need our understanding to do what it does on its own.
Yes.
Now some people are also concerned that their gardens aren't producing the right way. And I know I've recommended to people to read the Ringing Cedar series. Start with book one of Anastasia. That's the book series written by Vladimir Maigret from Russia. And Anastasia describes how to put your consciousness into the plant. Not only will the plant be healthy, but it will give you everything you need. She describes holding the seeds, just a few of the seeds that you're going to plant, underneath your tongue.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
I read the series.
Yeah, you read the series. So that's an issue of consciousness. You see, we have to assist nature in that respect, at least kickstarting it to produce what is going to really benefit us. Are you interested in just having tomatoes, or do you want them to be nutritious? How about if they give you everything you need?
Right.
Well, we're back. I hope you stayed with us. If you didn't, I'm talking to myself and D.S. Livingstone. It looks like our communications just went totally down. Evidently, when you start talking about holding seeds under your tongue, that's deep truth. That can't come out. I was making the statement that we should be eating foods from the region where we're born. We're born in that region for a particular purpose, and at least, you know, where we're living. Some people move to another country and they spend the rest of their lives there. Well, eat the food from that area. I'm not saying that you cannot eat food from elsewhere, of course, you know. I noticed all of a sudden I was talking to myself, you know. I had a great connection in the studio. So do you want to comment on that? I don't know how much of that you heard, but...
Well, you're saying Anastasia the very Russian way. We would say Anastasia.
Yeah.
In English. Anastasia is actually the Greek way of saying it, isn't it?
Well, and that's how she pronounces it, too.
Okay.
Anastasia.
Of course, there's deep roots connecting Russia and Greece.
Yes, yes. I'm Macedonian. I think we may have mentioned that on a past show.
Okay, which I haven't heard.
That same area.
Right. And, the whole message of Anastasia is a message of hope, which I've been trying to get to throughout the whole program here. That she's seeing that, and she's making it possible through her visionary state that people would hold on to the idea of a beatific planet, natural planet, where people can live their full existence free of of all the tyrannies that are put on us. One of our great ideas is the creation of kin's domains, lands of 2 hectares, 5 acres, whatever, depending on whoever you talk to. It could be an acre, 2 acres, up to 5 acres, maybe 10 acres, of land which is on which no taxes are collected and in which you have in perpetuity for your whole life or your family's life. And, of course, the governments who the first taxation is on land, and the first thing they want to control is land. And the idea of releasing land to people free and clear is being argued in the Russian Duma now and being proposed by the people who are following Anastasia's vision. And you'd end up with beautiful gardens. The planet would become a beautiful garden again. And the whole possession of land idea, which leads to war and conflict, would be gone. She's just wrapping up the whole agenda, ending the whole agenda of control of the planet and giving the land back to families to live on.
Well, that's been our argument all along anyway with the government.
Yes.
You know, that concept is inbred in us.
The American Constitution is on a agrarian principle.
Yes.
Of families living on the land.
Yes.
And the place that should be manifesting is the United States, where people have that freedom. Or the veterans should... who fought for it should be all given 5 acres, free and clear. They put their life on the line.
Mm-hmm.
They should all have 5 acres.
Well, yeah, we get into all kinds of dialectical arguments in this or discourses, in the sense of why these wars were created in the first place. They didn't have to happen. I'm not belittling the vocation of a professional soldier,
yeah,
or anyone in the military. It's all been designed and created for the purpose of control, secretly leading inch by inch into this, you know, this state that no one is willing to accept.
Well, I'm just saying that to the vets, because then the whole cycle, the karmic cycle of creating war
will be broken.
There.
Yeah. You'll turn. I'm not going to call them murderers, but when you're following orders, the orders really, those that are giving the orders should be the first farmers.
Yes.
You know, or maybe the first employees on the farm. You know, they can be they can be the undocumented workers. You know.
So, freeing the wage slaves and like the Romans, the wise Romans of the Republic, mm-hmm, released the slaves to return to the land.
Yes.
And that created huge wealth for the Roman Empire, which the emperors later confiscated for their own use and created perpetual war in order to establish their security in an empire. And we're going through that same thing in the States now, or through the New World Order, trying to claim to be the emperors of the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And for their security.
Yes, and I've argued, and I'd like to get your opinion on this, that everything they have done, everything they've created or constructed for their model of how they think everything should be on this planet is really done fearfully. It's done everything in the opposite of the creation, as if to say, we can become gods, but we dare not challenge the creator.
Well, they think they know more than the creator.
Well, yeah, then you're getting into
it's an arrogant.
Yeah.
Arrogance.
You're getting into the psychopathy of the delusional mind, mm-hmm. or the insane mind, because if everything was in perfect order in God's creation, all they can do is to try to be gods is to do the opposite of what God does. And that is the ultimate expression of fear right there. Is it any wonder that they built their world upon concepts of fear? All illusory. You know, there's nothing real about what they do.
Yes. And Anastasia in Ringing Cedars tells a story, or through Vladimir Maigret, about the princes who created the war which put them into power and stole the land from the peasants, or from the Vedrus, or the people who lived upon the land freely, and then created armies. But even in the Bible, Samuel, the people of Israel, asked Samuel to create a king so that they could have protection. And Samuel said, Israel does not need a king. The king will just steal your land and kill your sons in war, and just like the neighboring kings. And, of course, they got anointed Saul, who killed thousands, and then they anointed David, who killed tens of thousands.
Mm-hmm. You know, in the Bible, or in most, let's say, religious works, the concept of the firmament is often discussed. Okay, and you would say the heavens or the skies, or anything really that's tangible in that sense, the things that we can see. But the firmament is invisible to our limited third-dimensional sight, and yet there are many, many things moving in the firmament. You were alluding to that when you were talking about the sylphs or cherubs or angels. They can move interdimensionally, just like these grid lines that control everything. And I'm inclined to agree with Walter Russell and Nikola Tesla and scientist Jim Murray, who's on the show every Friday night, that there is this vortexian energy, that vortexes are everywhere. And they balance the planets, they move the planets through space, and they cause the planets to function a certain way. And they are pathways for the information, too.
Yes.
As well. If you could see it, it would look like an electrical grid going in every direction you can imagine. And we either interfere with that, or we block it somehow, or we cause it to distort. Would you agree to that? That our limited consciousness and those acts born out of limited consciousness are distortions?
Yes. Well, with all the metal which we've and the buildings we've created do not work with the magnetic fields and create distortions in cities and dead zones. And I did meet Slim Sperling before he passed away of liver cancer in 2005. In Issaquah, Washington, and we were talking about grid lines and what we called the Hartman and Curry lines. And I took the conference after the Can-Am Dowsers conference in Issaquah, and was asking him all sorts of questions about grid lines with about 30 other people in the room, and very, very detailed questions of things that he discovered and other people around him, mm-hmm. working with him. And I believe that the Hartman and grid lines are actually natural lines, and he proved himself in Denver in the early 90s that And have you gone into discussions on how the Hartman and Grid Mercury lines came into being, or the names came into being?
Well, in a sense, but certainly we can mention it if it's brief. I know that it's okay. A very complex subject.
Dr. Hartman in Germany after World War II, 1950s, saw in his practice that there were certain residences where cancer was would stay in that house, mm-hmm. generation from family to family, generation to generation, and that there's whole streets that were cancer streets. And dowsers in Germany would recommend that people move their bed from one side of the room to another side of the room to avoid noxious energies moving through the house. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the grid of those electrical lines is actually fourth dimensional energy, which we in the third dimension call electromagnetic force, or EMF, and that the natural ones are dissipations of lightning strikes. We're going back to lightning.
Mm-hmm.
And that that they were vertical ribbons, the natural ones are about vertical ribbons, like wavy curtains. Depending where you're on the planet, they can vary from every 3 feet to 4 feet, like in the Iron Range of northern Minnesota, or until if you're going into the jungle, maybe about 20 feet in a north, south, east, west direction. The north, south ones are the Hartman lines, the east, west, the Curry lines. And they have a directional flow. And often the directional flow is back to a dynamo or away from a lightning strike.
Mm-hmm.
In alternating current, you have three lines coming out of a generating plant off the dynamos. So you have two lines going out, one line coming back, and the rest of the electromagnetic force of the alternating current is going back through grounding in each house, each building that use that electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And the return circuit is through the ground. And it does make its way back, but it makes it back through the fourth dimension. But that fourth dimensional effect is felt and is negative upon the body and causes friction and imbalance, which could lead to cancer or into ill health effects, which could lead to cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And some Sperling in the early 90s was 30 stories up in downtown Denver. And he could feel his L rods were detecting, or his consciousness through the L rods. He was indicated by the L rods he was carrying. He was picking up on a 300-foot tall EMF pressure on his consciousness. And then there's a power outage. He went down to ground level, and he could detect the natural Hartman and Curry lines at ground level, 6 feet tall. Also, when he went out of the city, the lines would shrink from the huge heights of the cities. When he got away from the electrical grid down to the natural size, you'd still have the web at ground level, but it'd be natural intensity, which people could handle and work with.
Mm-hmm.
So he developed systems for diverting and also using intent, but essentially he was using his conscious awareness to create bubbles of awareness. And other people have learned how to work with crystals, with fragrances, in order to create electromagnetic shielding. Working with Organite, going back to 2002, I've learned how to work with Organite in such a way as to create shielding where I work with the elemental kingdom in order to create that bubble of protection around the body. So I have regular communications with sylphs. I've had them around me since I was 18 months old. My memories go back to that, to 18 months old in Vancouver in 1953. And drifting off in Jericho Beach, which is a vortex itself in Vancouver, and traveling out of my body with these two buddies of mine who were elementals, flying through the cumulus clouds for hours. And it's a very vivid memory. And I have many, many of these memories of being with the elementals like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know they exist because we're capable of photographing them, for one thing.
Yes.
And in some cases, I've been out recording nature and picked up sounds that you don't normally hear. You know, when you're playing back the tape or,
right.
the recording device, these things get picked up.
Right.
They're attracted, or they want to make themselves, present, their presence known,
mm-hmm.
let's say.
Part of the sim-spurring technology, the harmonizer and those rings and the wash bucket, he called. And then he was a friend of his, a doctor, electronics from Boulder, Colorado, recorded noises from thunderstorms. What he was recording was sylph song. And sim-spurring had a bright idea of broadcasting sylph song through speakers, through a harmonizer back into nature. And he was able to control the weather through that technique.
Hmm.
And essentially he was calling in the natural kingdoms to do his intent. And he was able to create snowstorms experimentally. And he was able to create rain through the summer.
Yeah.
In Colorado, where it's pretty dry.
Well, that gives me an idea. Maybe between now and the next show you do, maybe we can meditate on creating some Federal Reserve and IRS sylphs.
Well,
call them tax sylphs.
I think Ken's mentioned that we do have an avatar for us.
Yeah, he has.
We just call the avatar. He's actually very physical, and he's doing some work on that.
Yeah.
I just don't want to go into it too much right now.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, ZS, we've run out of time, but I'd like to have you back again in September. I'm hoping you'll come on, and we can continue such discussions as we've had tonight.
Thank you.
Very informative, and I know people are going to... Some are probably saying, what are they talking about? And then there are others that are saying, wow, this is really cool. You mean we can really do this? I've been getting, let's say, hits on this sort of consciousness that you've been describing over the past few months. Very recently, it seems like there's been an upswing within the last week and a half or so, which is quite unusual. The overall consciousness of the average person seems to be focusing attention on the fact that there's some discomfort with what's going on.
Yes.
And that's the first sign, is to voice your displeasure. And those people are going to have some catching up to do, as we know, because they've not been paying attention to all this stuff. We're not asking people to believe, but when you've experienced it and you can describe these things from childhood, obviously you're either delusional or you're telling the truth. And we're finding that the truth is coming out in many, many areas. We're discovering the secrets that have been kept from us. And we came here to do that, didn't we?
Yes.
So I want to thank you for coming on the show on such short notice, and look forward to your next visit on Evident Footprints.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Okay, same here. Time to say goodnight to our listening audience. You have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBS Radio, and our special guest tonight, Zurnova Star Livingstone. You can read many, many articles that he has written at Ken Adachi's website, educate-yourself.org. And I want to thank all the people out there on blogtalkradio.com and Wind Talkers Radio Network who were tuning in to tonight's show. Join me tomorrow night when our special guest will be that former U.S. Marine, the host of A Marine's Disquisition on Blog Talk Radio and Wind Talkers Radio Network, Drew Malone Raines III. In the meantime, special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.